Now in up to the 9 foot homemade oak bar, my name is Craig Toth, your host of Minor League News and Brews, talking about everything around the Pirates minor league system and giving you some beer reviews at the end of the show. Before I get started on what may be the meat and potatoes and the topic of this podcast episode, it's something that's been discussed a lot. I've seen it around Pirates Twitter / X, Facebook. I've heard it on a few podcasts as well concerning the overarching philosophies of Andy Haynes, hitting coach, hitting coordinator for the Pirates, and also Oscar Marin, pitching coach, pitching coordinator for the organization. This is something that I have discussed previously. I tried to find out exactly what episode that was, so what you're going to have to do is just go back and listen to every single episode that I put out, also the Bucks in the Basement ones that I do with my good friend Chris Lanuti, coming out every Wednesday. And it's talking about being in charge of the organizational philosophies. Are Andy Haynes and Oscar Marin in charge of at least disseminating the organizational philosophies? That is true. It's too much for one person to handle, and this has been brought up many, many times. And that is also true. They are still doing it all by themselves. If you listen to that episode that I talked about before, this is blatantly false. In addition to Christian Marrero, the assistant hitting coach, Justin Message, the bullpen coach, the holdover from the Neil Huntington era, the Pirates have added an assistant director of hitting under Andy Haynes, and that is Timothy McKeithen. They also have added an assistant director of pitching, Jeremy Bleich, to the major league staff. There are also minor league coordinators of hitting development and minor league coordinators of pitching development. Jonathan Johnston, who had been the Bradenton Marauders manager from 2021 through 2023, received a promotion to the minor league coordinator of hitting development. And Josh Hopper, once Ben Cherington came in, hired him in December of 2020. So maybe not right when he came in, but during the next year after they had some time to do a little bit of evaluating, as the minor league coordinator of pitching development. And he came from Dallas Baptist University. He was a coach there. And if you get a chance at any point in time, go look at the staff on the player development side of things. Simply search Pirates front office directory and start to scroll through all of those things. It's something that I've discussed many, many different times. It's something that Travis Williams took heat for during Pirates Fest, saying they were, you know, one of the top five teams in what they were spending in player development. I mean, adding staff to the minor league staffs, like, just don't have the manager, the hitting coach, the pitching coach, and the bench coach. So those staffs have expanded. They've expanded the development, the mental health side of things, the analytics side of things. So there is a ton going on there. But I just kind of wanted to bring that back up just because, not saying it's an organizational philosophy that will work. I still think that a lot of this is an organizational philosophy that is kind of the brainchild of Ben Cherington and the guys that sit around him and the girls that sit around him now. But it's basically not, you know, on the head of one person, as it had been previously, you know, the hitting coach and hitting coordinator for the entire organization. Keep on adding those people to assist in doing that. So I just kind of wanted to dispel some of that stuff. I hadn't heard that in a very long time, brought back up because of the offensive struggles that the Major League Ball Club is having, and seeing some, you know, struggles within the minor league hitters, specifically like maybe like a Tamar Johnson I've seen brought up. So I just kind of wanted to throw that back out there for everybody again, that it is not on one man, and it's not the job of one person to oversee and everything that happens with an organization when you're doing your job at the major league level. Prior to the discussion surrounding Andy Haynes resurfacing the stuff with the offensive, you know, ineptitude that is going on at the major league level, and maybe it's not even resurfacing, it's everything just coming to a head. A lot of the discussions, you know, in the articles that are being written, blogs that are being written, podcast discussions were concerning Paul Skeens' pitch count, as well as Jared Jones's pitch count. People trying to come up with, you know, is the pitch counts, is it the ups and downs, is it the rest days, is it the total innings limits, is it the added trouble with the arm in high stress innings, is it the pitches per innings limits, is it anything else you can think of analytically? And the answer to all of that is, it is everything. You think you have a bunch of people there that are just saying, okay, it's the ups and the downs, it's the, you know, the pitch limits, it's the innings limits that we're working towards for the end of the year. You are taking all of this into consideration. It's just not one thing. And it's also maybe looking at it as the number of pitches that a player has thrown during previous seasons. Something that I brought up with Chris, you know, was Jared Jones's pitch total. 66 innings in 2021, 122 innings in 2022, 126 and a third innings in 2023, and 29 so far as the time of this recording before he probably pitches on Sunday versus the Giants. And so, like, you're talking about, you know, building that up. Also, you know, a big conversation was the days of rest. His first start of the season was back on March 30th. He went 5 2/3 through 89 pitches, leading into the season, probably going a little bit harder and heavier to begin the season. Then he got 5 days of rest, went back out again on April 5th. Pitched 6 innings, 80 pitches, and then he took 5 more days of rest, came back out on April 11th, went 6.1 innings, 85 pitches, and that dreaded, where basically the people on Twitter absolutely exploded on Facebook. On 4 days of rest, the first time he was doing that in his professional career, other than what they do in the minor leagues, which is something that I'm going to get to, which is if you do pitch every 5 days, you're usually pitching on that Tuesday and going for your full workload and then pitching again on that Sunday. And you are on a little bit of a schedule where, you know, you're maybe looking to pitch half as many pitches as you had thrown during your Tuesday start. I came back on April 22nd, threw 6 innings and 91 pitches. So right back up again. I threw in a bullpen day so that, you know, Mitch Keller stayed on his schedule. Quinn Priester was pushed back because, you know, he hadn't been pitching on that, you know, 4 day of rest schedule. Martin Perez maybe getting a little bit gassed, and then getting as much as you can, hopefully, out of Jared Jones from his start on Sunday. But this trickles down throughout the entire organization. Paul Skeens is the other one that everybody is looking at. In 2022, when he was pitching for Air Force, he pitched 85 innings. And then in 2023, between LSU and the minimal amount of work he got in the Pirates minor leagues, he went 29 and a third innings, and he's gone 17 innings so far in 2024. He went on March 30th, the same day as Jared Jones, so they're kind of on the same schedule. Three innings pitched, 46 pitches. 5 days of rest, goes again on April 5th. Three innings pitched, 44 pitches. And then he gets 6 days of rest, and you see him go, you know, and you see that bump up a little bit more. The 3.1 innings pitched, and, you know, 55 pitches. And then goes up even more again, 5 days rest on April 18th, 3.1 innings, 65 pitches. And just a few days ago, after another 5 days of rest, he goes 4.1 innings pitched. And that's where that kind of goes towards not only the pitch count going up, but also the number of times a player has to cool down and then get geared back up to go. You also want to be building that back up. And he goes 71 pitches. And here's the thing is everybody's looking at, like, where's his innings count at? I'm looking more at the pitch count. And the other thing is that he still hasn't gone on that 4 days of rest. And that's a box to be checked. And that's something that Ben Cherington talks about. I mean, you hear him mention it on his show all the time. Anytime he's interviewed by the beat reporters, he talks about those boxes being checked. It is a possibility here that, you know, in this upcoming week, if hopefully, you know, Paul Skeens goes out on Tuesday, he will pitch again on Sunday, kind of leading people to say, okay, that's the last box checked. And then, you know, he will be up the next weekend for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And that's something where I'm like, I don't know if that's, like, really even a possibility. People are saying May 3rd or 4th, 5th, going towards May 11th. The last time I recorded, I'm looking, if it didn't happen, based on the ups and downs, based on the pitch count, based on how he was just performing overall. And in his last outing, you know, you saw the velo down a little bit, was working some of those other pitches in. That may be something that they're working with him on, you know, another box to check. But, I mean, I said if it wasn't May 4th, I'm looking more towards the end of May. I know that people won't be happy about that. I mean, I would be hoping that it would be earlier as well. I mean, I do want to see him up in the major leagues. But realistically, I'm looking towards the end of May with him. And then it kind of seems like that this is like a pattern with all of the Pirates' top pitching prospects, especially the ones at the upper levels. Going to go with Anthony Solomito on this one. And before I get started on this, I had tweeted out or retweeted an article from Andrew Destin, who is Noah Hyles' partner in crime, the co-beat reporters, I'll call them, the dynamic duo over at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He did a great article on Anthony Solomito, talking about how he was throwing his fastball. That was like the big thing that jumped out to everybody last year, as he was throwing it, living right around like 92 to 96, topping out at 97, was kind of like blowing not only the batters away, but was blowing the scouts and just the general fans, amateur scouts or amateur, you know, prospect people like myself, prospect junkies. It was kind of like, you know, opened our eyes a lot. But right now he's, you know, kind of living in the upper 80s. And in, you know, Andrew's article, it's talking about how he needs to build up that lower half of his body, was having trouble keeping weight on throughout the system. Also talked about how when he pitches with his curveball, pitches with his slider, they kind of, one is not living off of the other. If one is doing well, If he's doing well with the changeup, then the slider is suffering. If he's doing well with the slider, the changeup is suffering. So he's been working with some of those plyo balls to, you know, strengthen his wrist and different stuff with that. But everybody, you know, go read that article. But with Anthony Solomito in 2022 through 47 innings, in 2023, got up to about 110.1 innings and only 9.2 so far in 2024. On April 7th, because if you're in AA, you start a little bit later, he went four innings through 57 pitches, 6 days of rest, 414 through three innings, but was right up at 57 pitches again. This last time got into a little bit of trouble on April 21st. He went 2 2/3 innings, but still got up over that 50 pitches. So it looks like they want him to right now be in that 50 to 60 pitch mix and kind of build back up. And you look at like the number of starts that a player will have to make throughout the season. And it's not like as simple as doing the math of this is this many starts, we get this many innings. And that's like your kind of target goal as to what you would want to increase to. Looking at him, I mean, the most I would see him topping out at this year, you know, barring health, hopefully, is that maybe you're looking at where Jared Jones was at with the past couple of seasons, where you're only looking for him to go up, you know, up to like 126, maybe the whole way up to 130, but you're not going to see a huge jump from him. With Jared Jones, like I said, I've said this a million times, with the 126, I'm looking at maybe like 150, 155. If they let him get to 160, I would be very surprised. Paul Skeens limiting the innings, also limiting the pitches. At the beginning of this minor league season, 129 and a third innings last year. I'm still looking at maybe that 150 to 160 range. And a guy that has, I mean, he's shown a lot of stuff that is getting people excited, but it's also there's places to show just maybe a little bit of concern. Early on, just like minimal concern. I'm not talking about big concerns here. Bubba Chandler in 2022, while he was still a two-way player, he was, you know, down there in Bradenton, 41 and a third innings pitched. Last season with the Greensboro Grasshoppers and one start with the Altoona Curve, he went 111 innings. 13 innings pitched so far in 2024. Started out on April 5th, 3.1 innings, 60 pitches. 7 days of rest. He goes on April 13th, and he goes, you know, 4.1 innings pitched and 53 pitches. And then he gets that normal, you know, 4 days of rest. And he goes five innings and up to 62 pitches. But during his most recent start, was starting on the same day as Paul Skeens. So I'm guessing a lot of people were watching it on their MILB TV. He struggled. He only got through 2/3 of an inning through 34 pitches. 0 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned runs, 2 base on balls, and 1 K. Was just getting very deep into counts. The thing that I was talking about that everybody's excited about with Bubba Chandler is topping that, you know, 100 mile per hour mark, which is, I mean, absolutely amazing. When I had Jeffrey Paternostro from Baseball Prospectus on, we had discussed and said that maybe Bubba Chandler had the best fastball in the minor league system for the Pirates. Got a little bit of pushback on that. Not saying it's better than Paul Skeens, and I'm not even going to go with the organization and the amazing stuff that we've seen from Jared Jones, but definitely a very big pitch. But you look at that 34 pitches when he's not able to get up to an inning. A lot of the times you'll see within the minor league system, a guy gets to basically 35 pitches is the cutoff. If you're throwing, you know, 35 pitches in a high stress, high leverage inning, then it's pretty much time to shut it down. Wasn't hitting his marks as much, and, you know, just didn't have his best stuff. The one thing that I keep on looking at here, and when I was saying out the pitch counts, like rewind it, go back and listen to those. Because the one thing that Charrington basically said before he made a decision to call up Quinn Priester, everybody's calling for Skeens, even though we knew it wasn't Skeens, is that what Charrington is looking for guys in the 80 to 85 pitch range, those guys, because if you pitch well and you're pitching efficiently, I mean, that gets you out to about having the ability to pitch seven innings. So that's what they're really looking at. And you can see that this isn't just a Paul Skeens. This isn't just a Jared Jones type of thing. It's not even, you know, an Anthony Solomito or a Bubba Chandler type of thing. With the Pirates draft class last year, they drafted a lot of guys, and that, I'm just going to, spoiler alert, one of them is going to be in the top five Pirates prospects from the last time that I did this, so kind of over the last 2 weeks of play, or maybe like about a week and a half. Basically, you're going to see that, you know, these guys aren't going to be able to get to those higher, you know, they'll get to the pitch counts, but they may not reach those innings just because as relievers in college, and even if they went and pitched in the Cape or MLB draft league or whatever it would be, they're really kind of hovering around like maybe 50 innings of work. So these guys that we're getting very excited about, you know, watch them now while you can. I don't know if it's going to last the whole season. And that's something that's also going to become a topic, something that I had talked about with Eric Garfield. Go follow him. He does the Florida Prospect Report with Bailey, doing a lot of good stuff. Talked about it with, it was John Moses, with Jack McMullen, all the guys that I talked to, Thomas Zinzarelli, Andy Durham from, you know, all of the affiliates, is watching, like, are we going to have enough pitchers to kind of finish a season? If you look down at the minor leagues, they are running a lot of bullpen games. So pitching is going to be, you know, a huge topic for this year and probably for years to come. Are you a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates and supporting small businesses? If so, Bucks in the Basement has you covered. Introducing the Bucks in the Basement Vouch Store, with products from places like Split Rock Coffee, Coffee with a Purpose, established, owned, and operated by disabled veterans sworn to protect America, or Camp Craft Cocktails, more than cocktails. It's a mission to build longer tables where everyone is welcome. We try and vouch for these products. Bucks in the Basement, proudly brought to you by Vouch. Visit our Vouch store at bucksinthebasement.com or simply click on the link in the show notes. The top five Pirates prospects, like I said, anybody that's listened and has read what I used to write before, I would always do a weekly top five Pirates prospects. I'm going to try to do it every week on this. You know, if I don't talk too much in the first two segments that I do, sticking with the pitching, a guy that kind of burst onto a lot of people's radar when he was in the spring breakout game, the prospect breakout game there, pitching for a very strong staff down there in Greensboro, Patrick Riley. He was drafted in the fifth round in 2023 out of Vandy. When he was with them, he wasn't a full-time starter. He pitched in 16 games, started four of those games. And I'm talking about, I said before, right around that 50 innings pitched. He pitched 48 and a third for Vandy, pitched five innings in the Cape. Thus far this season, he's gone 58 pitches, 56 pitches, and the last two times he's been out, once on 5 days rest, the other time on 6 days rest, has gone 81 pitches. Like I said, he's got 16 and two-thirds innings pitched so far this season. The ERA will not look as great as some, but with Greensboro, I did a whole episode on this one time. Go look at the WHIP. The WHIP is 1.020, not putting a ton of guys on base. The 4.32 ERA, 29 Ks, 6 base on balls. I believe he is scheduled to go. If you're going to listen to this right when it comes out, he does pitch on Saturday, April 27th. The next guy, part of Greensboro as well, Wilbur Dotel. He went 78 innings in 2023. He's a guy who has kind of, dealt with some control issues, maybe has limited his pitch count during games. He's gone on 5 days rest both times. Once again, a guy that, you're going to get to see here again very soon. And I did misspeak. It's actually Wilbur Dotel that is going in the game today. Patrick Riley just pitched a couple days ago. But Wilbur Dotel, big thing for him. He is going 97 plus on his fastball, touching 100 miles per hour, but is showing some control issues at times. Hence the 1 1/3 innings pitched back on April 15th, only 39 pitches. Came back out, did very well on April 20th, 5 innings pitched, 71 pitches. Right now he has a 0.00 ERA, 9 Ks in 10.1 innings, 5 base on balls, so there's a little bit of the control issue, has a 0.968 WHIP, and once again, he's the one that's pitching today on Saturday, not Patrick Riley. Sticking with the pitching side of things, number three, and as always, these are in no particular order, Michael Kennedy, 2022 MLB draft pick in the fourth round, the high schooler. 2023, he only went 46.2 innings, 12 innings so far this season. He has a 4.50 ERA, obviously not looking great. The WHIP is fairly solid, the 1.250. Big thing for me here is in those 12 innings, he has 16 strikeouts to 3 walks. Now we finally get to see some hitters here. Something that people want to hear about. Unfortunately, this first guy is a little bit far away, and he's been at this level for the past 3 seasons. Sammy Siani, 2019 draft pick, first round, competitive balance, 37th overall. William Penn Charter School in Philly, has struggled at Greensboro. I believe he went to, He went to Australia. I don't believe it was this past summer. Maybe it was the summer before. But he is up over 300 for the batting average, approaching 400 with the on-base percentage, up over 500 with the slugging. The big thing for him is at this level, I do know that he is, 23 years old. He is, maybe not a full year, but approaching a full year older for the level. Want to see him up in Altoona as soon as possible, but is showing a little bit of power, showing a little bit of patience. At the plate, has 2 home runs. Take that for what it's worth in Greensboro, but like to see him doing well. I kind of akin this to the fact that if he would have gone to college, he wouldn't have been drafted until 2022. So at the most, unless he was tearing his way through the system, I mean, more than likely he would have been in Altoona this year, so not too far behind in the development. But since he was drafted in 2019, you know, people's heads kind of explode a little bit. And the last guy is, you know, a pretty big topic here for a lot of people on X and Facebook and within their podcast. Nick Gonzalez, first round, seventh overall, Ben Cherington's first draft pick. Just went over 100 plate appearances for the season. Seeing the K's come down a little bit, still not seeing much of the walks, but, you know, hovering around 400 for the average, well over 400 for the on base, approaching 600 for the slugging, two home runs, countless doubles. I mean, the guy is a doubles machine at this point in time. I believe the social media for the Indianapolis Indians said scheduled tweet, you know, Nick Gonzalez double and a triple. So those are the top five Pirates prospects, my top five Pirates prospects for about the past like 8 days.
A pitcher of beer, a pitcher of beer, let's order that pitcher of beer. That pitcher of beer should come over here. I love that pitcher of beer.
As always, the first two segments, three segments, however many there were this time, have runneth over. I have tasted a decent amount of beers since Easter. So this is going to cover me for, I looked at it, maybe like the next 5 weeks of shows. Every single year, I think I talked about this maybe as we do when we're around over our neighbors. We do an adult Easter egg hunt with, you know, beers or mini bottles of wine or seltzers. And now even some of the kids who don't participate in the Easter egg hunt anymore, there were some, you know, very cool different types of root beers and pops and different stuff that they were searching for. A couple of the ones that I had here are from breweries that I have, you know, reviewed beers from before. Actually, it looks like three of them. We got Yards Brewing Company, the gold in the caps, G-O-L-D, strong golden ale coming in at 8%, a delicious golden ale. Pretty heavy for me. I give that one a 450, knock it down to 400. The Trogues Sunshine Pilsner, 4.5%, absolutely delicious. Don't think I've ever had a bad beer from Trogues. Give that one a 475, knock it down to 425. The Dogfish Head 90-Minute Imperial IPA, 9.5%. I mean, anything from Dogfish Head. This is kind of the first craft beers that I had. Is basically, I would go over to my buddy's house and he'd say, grab a beer, and all he had was Dogfish Head in there. Wouldn't be the 90-Minute or the 90-Minute Imperial, but delicious beer. I give this one a 425, and because it's not one of my favorite types of beers, it goes the opposite direction, up to 475. And then Erie Brewing Company, probably one of the second ones that I would have got me onto the craft beer quote-unquote scene. It was the Railbender Ale, the Scottish-style ale, coming in at 6.8%. I give that one a 475, knock it down to 425. Next week, hoping to preview the upcoming Florida Gulf Coast League season. I call it that because it's the Florida Complex League now, but now before it was the Gulf Coast League, it's the Florida Complex League, everybody. They've been doing some extended spring training down there. Hopefully going to get to talk about that next week. But until next time, let's go Indians, let's go Curve, let's go Hoppers, let's go Bradenton Marauders.